This morning we continue our series on the big picture. And there are different ways of looking at what the big picture of life is about. On the first message of the series on Easter Sunday, we looked at the big picture of our lives as human beings. And last Sunday we continued that big picture. And today I want us to look at not only the big picture of our lives as people, but the big picture of the church, particularly Hillandale Baptist Church. What is the big picture, and how do we fit within that picture? Our text comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 15, verses 8 through 10. And before I read it, I just want to put a word out there, because there's been a lot of talk on, you know, Hillandale. Well, at least I've been doing a lot of talking about Hillandale expecting. Hillandale being in a place of preparing for new life, preparing for new souls, and what that means for us as a family. You know, and when we talk about a growing family, that means siblings have to start sharing a little bit more. It means, you know, that we have to kind of make room, not only in physical space, but in social space, you know, for people to fit in and people to belong and people to be welcomed and cared for. And so I want us to talk a little bit today about what the implications are, a little bit about what our role is as a church as we seek to align ourselves with this purpose of God expanding us. And many of you have come to me and said, you know what, that resonates with me. That bears witness with me, this whole idea of Hillandale kind of expanding, as it were, you know, and that just confirms, you know, that this is something I believe the Lord is doing among us. And so if you sense, you know, a change kind of in the atmosphere, kind of a renewed vibrance or life coming to Hillandale, I believe that's all a part of the big picture, all a part of where God is taking us as a church family. And so I want us to talk a little bit about that today. If you turn to Luke chapter 15, starting at verse 8, and this is another parable that Jesus tells to explain why he keeps hanging around those sinner folk, why he keeps spending time with people who aren't popular, people who are seen as the disgusting ones, the ones who don't belong, the ones who are icky and unrighteous, right? Why is he spending time with these people? And this is the second parable he says in response to that. He says, "Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one of them, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? When she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost.' Just so, I tell you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents." Yes, this is about the lost coin. I want us to break this down a little bit. Can we break it down? All right, let's break it down. So these 10 silver coins. So God is represented in this woman, and humanity is represented in this coin that has been lost. And when you dig a little deeper, you find that these 10 silver coins, or drachmas is the technical word for it, in the Greek word, drachmas. This kind of coin was a coin used for life savings. So these 10 silver coins that this woman had, this was her life savings. And given that she had 10, only 10 of them, means that she was pretty poor. And when she loses one of these coins, these drachmas, she begins to frantically, but not haphazardly, look for this lost coin. And for Jesus to equate this silver coin with humanity tells us, just like he did with the sheep. Remember when we talked about the sheep, we talked about how the sheep was essential for life. Like, the people depended on the sheep to live because they provided food and clothing and milk. And so, again, we have an analogy between life and a soul. So he's the value of a soul is like the value of your life savings. You need this. This is something that you have to have. And so for God to equate lost souls to life savings tells us how much we ought to value lost souls. Amen. Because Jesus tells this parable not only to explain his actions, but to also teach us the way we ought to act, right? If we're supposed to be followers of Jesus and following his example. So we ought to value people in our community who don't know Jesus as much as we value our own life savings. Have you ever talked to an advisor, a financial advisor, or friends about what to do with your savings? Have you ever had conversations? Do you have a 401k? Do you have investments? Are you mindful of what you do with your life savings? Yeah, because it's valuable to you. And so the same value we put on things like life savings, we ought to put on souls who are out in our community. Now, the thing that I love about this woman who represents God is the next thing she does is, because this coin is so valuable, she decides to light a lamp and start looking for this coin. Now, she's lighting a lamp because the houses at the time, it wasn't very well lit, especially poor folks' home. You didn't have any windows. You only had a small door, so there wasn't a lot of natural light in the room. And so she lights a lamp to start looking for this coin. Now, this tells us something immediately. Oil is expensive, and you don't light a lamp unless you really need it, unless it's very, very dark, and you need to see. So to light a lamp means that she's willing to pay a price, to render an expense in order to find this coin. And so the question for us is, what are we willing to pay to reach a soul? Because in order to reach a soul, it's going to cost us something. And this is where the excuses come in for us as humans. This is when our flesh, the part of us that God is still working on starts to come to the surface, because this is when we start coming up with excuses on why we can't reach out. Oh, we tried that before and it didn't work. Or, oh, we don't have enough to do that. We can't afford to do that. Or, oh, I don't have the time. I'm busy. Okay, and we all do this. It's not just one person. It's all of us. We all have our excuses. They're just trying to swindle me out of my money. They don't really need anything. And you know, people out in the street asking for money. Oh, they're just lazy. You know, sometimes the excuses that we make for not reaching out can sometimes just be a mask covering the fact that we don't want to pay the price necessary to reach a soul. Amen? It all got kind of quiet right there. That's all right. Got a little quiet right there. I'm talking to myself too, okay? We're all in this together. So if we're going to have the mindset necessary to partner with God in reaching this community and expanding this family, we've got to go into it knowing that there's a price that has to be paid. There's a cost that we have to be willing to pay in order to reach a soul. The next thing that she does is she begins to sweep the house. Notice something. She never leaves the house. Somehow she knows the coin has to be in the house. And why is that? Because drachmas, or these silver coins, the coins that you use for life savings, weren't traded in the marketplace. These were coins that you only kept stored in your home. So she knew this coin's got to be here somewhere. It's got to be here somewhere. And let me tell you something. First time I started driving around this community, the first thing I noticed, churches everywhere. My goodness, church here, church there, church everywhere. And I'm thinking, is the work of evangelism done in this area? I mean, because you'd think with all these churches, everybody in this community has to be saved. There can't be anybody else that needs Jesus with all these churches. I mean, in big ones, too. I mean, not just, I mean, big churches. A big one here, big one, everywhere. And I'm thinking, man, is this a mission field, or is it? Are we all done here, Lord? Is this it? But if we truly believe, if we really sense the Lord expanding our family here at Hillendale, and that we're supposed to be getting ready for souls coming in, that must mean they got to be out there somewhere. They've got to be out there somewhere. It may look like the work is done, but clearly it can't be done if the Lord is expanding us. And so she begins to sweep this house. And when you sweep the house, what happens is they would brush the ground very gently and listen for the tinkling sound of a coin. All right, so they're brushing it, listening for the sound. And because, again, the room is not very well lit, you just have a lamp, you've got to be strategic and organized in the way that you search. All right, and this all comes back to how much you value the coin. If you lose something valuable, you're going to be thoughtful in the process and how you find it. What happens if you lose your glasses or a wedding ring? What's the first thing you do? So you stop. You say, okay, where was I at the last time I had my ring on? Or where was I the last time I took my glasses off? And you start to think strategically, because you don't want to just look aimlessly. You want to be smart about it, right? And the same thing applies for how we reach souls and how we reach the community. We have to think. We have to be strategic about the process. One of the reasons why in our Easter service, we had more people gathered together for one service than we've had in the last 10 years, the reason why is because we were strategic in the way we invited people to come, right? Because Easter is a time of year where folks who maybe don't go to church or haven't been in a long time like to come. And so if you're strategic at the time of year, you begin to invite people, then you get more people start to come, right? So we have to think organized. We have to be organized about it. We have to be strategic and thoughtful in how we reach out to the community, okay? So she sweeps the house. And now, and I love this part right here. She searches carefully until she finds it. Which means what? She does not quit. She does not stop. I mean, and again, we could fall into the trap of, well, we did it last time and it didn't work. We tried that before and it didn't work. All right, but if you're looking for something and it's valuable to you, you're not going to stop even though it didn't work the last time. You say, well, I sweeped this part of the house last time, so I'm not going to try it again. No. This is my life savings we're talking about here. Look again. And the same principle applies with something like inviting people to come to church. Statistically, I'm going to share a statistic with you. Statistically, when you invite someone to church for the first time, there's only a 25% chance that they'll come. This is what studies show. So there's only a 1 out of 4 chance that they'll come. But if you invite them 3 or 4 times or more, it rises to 75%, right? So it's the persistence, right? Not being overbearing, but just a loving persistence where you keep trying, you don't give up, that ends up getting the return. And I think Judy Humphrey is a great example of this. Judy Humphrey, every time I see Judy, she asks me to play chimes. Every single time. Without fail. Isn't that right? every single time. And she comes at it at different angles every time. She has a new reason why I ought to play the chimes. And I look back there today, and I see Amy's back there. I see there's like a whole bunch of people, new people playing the chimes. I'm thinking, there goes Judy. She does not give up. She does not quit. But that's what's required. You know, when we're talking about winning souls, we're talking about reaching out to the community. It takes persistence. You know, you can't give up. You got to keep at it. All right. Just because you invite somebody and it doesn't work the first time, doesn't mean it's not effective. Because that first time leads to the second, leads to the third, which eventually brings you your return. All right. So we've got to have a no quit attitude. A no quit attitude. And then lastly, she rejoices when she finds it. Amen. And she rejoices with her friends. And I've always said, you know, the church is like a basketball team. Does anybody watch basketball? Well, okay. So enough people watch, but well, we know about basketball a little bit, right? Enough to use this analogy. So on a basketball team, you have a coach, you have a team. And usually, if you have a really good team, you have some superstars on the team that make the team win the championship, right? Now, traditionally, sometimes we think that in church, the preacher is the superstar on the team that helps the team win the championship. But that's not how it works. The preacher is the coach who's on the bench, who might lead practice, help train the team, help build the team so that the team fulfills its potential. And the team, which is all of us, are the ones that go out there and win the championship, right? A preacher can't win souls all by him or herself. It's the church as a whole that gets the job done. That's why when anybody comes forward to either dedicate their life to Christ or rededicate their life to Christ, it's something that we all share in because we all played our part. Somebody greeted them at the door and made them feel welcome. Somebody was working in the back with the audio so that they could hear the choir sing and the preacher talk. Somebody was in the parking lot directing traffic so that people could, you know, everything works together. And so I want us to have that team mindset, that team mentality that if it's going to get done, it's going to get done because we all work together. Amen. And we rejoice in it together. Amen. Amen. I believe this is part of the big picture that God is taking us to as a church. And I'm really excited. I'm really blessed to have come right at a strategic time, it seems. Kind of like things just kind of all fell together. And Pastor Hoddle is excited as well. That's one of the first conversations we had, Pastor Hoddle and I. You know, he said, you know, I really believe there's another work yet to be done in Dale City. Amen. And I believe that. Amen. 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 Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, you gave us a wonderful example by this woman who lost part of her life savings and decided to search diligently and strategically until she found what was lost. I'm asking, Father, that you put within us the same tenacity, the same urgency to help you find what you've lost. The children that are out there, the people that are out there that you long to welcome home, and you want to use us to help find them. And so put in us the passion, the tenacity, the patience, Lord, to continue to reach out to this community as a family. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We're going into our time of meditation and quietness. I'd like you to think about how you will respond to the word of the Lord today. Okay, take a moment to respond. And you may see things on the back of your connection card. You say, well, I may not do that, and that, but there's something else you want to do. Well, maybe write that down. Write it down in the comments section. Do something, even if it's a small step. Maybe it's just writing down your testimony. Maybe you say, I don't feel comfortable sharing it. Well, just write it down, all right, and take some baby steps, okay? Just think about how you're going to respond to the word today.